Ever feel like your blanket just can't keep up with you or the weather? Introducing the all-season Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket. Whether you're at the beach, on a hike, or cozying up around the fire pit, the Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket is your perfect companion. This new hooded blanket is super soft, ultra-portable, and stylish, too. It offers luxury comfort and warmth that goes wherever you go. Get your new Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket today. Available now in stores and online at MikiCouture.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to A Pure Exhaustion. Beautiful. It's another episode of Grey's Academy.
Yeah, I forget
sometimes what I'm saying. Grey's Academy, welcome back. It's another episode of Grey's Academy of your two favorite hosts in the entire world, the galaxy, nay, the universe. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a lovely night for a podcast. A lovely, beautiful, sleepy night for a podcast.
It's true.
This has been the longest week of our lives.
Truly.
I don't know about you. I've been sleeping like garbage. Carmen and Jessica are peak stress because they have to pack for themselves to leave the country and for their child to come and stay with me for over a week. So they've got a lot going on and they're still working. And I've been working a lot, and a lot of my work has involved long distances of driving and waking up early to do those. And it's just been like a lot. And it is
too
now
much.
Nighttime, Friday night, and we are recording. We are still ahead of schedule, which is good for us, and we are happy to be ahead of schedule. But if we are a little off-brand, that is why. But
it'll probably end up being mostly probably unhinged, if I had to guess. We'll make it. We'll make it. Everything will be beautiful golden showers.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah,
I've got some shout-outs.
We have a new Patreon, Crystal.
Crystal! Shout-out!
And we now know Fair Enough's name is Ethan, so I wanted to give Ethan a proper shout-out.
Ethan! Yeah, Fair Enough. Ethan! Shout-out!
I think that's all.
I have two.
Wait, no.
Oh.
Emma.
Emma! I knew there was another Patreon.
Yeah.
Shout out, Emma.
It does not seem like you're tired. It seems like you've done cocaine.
I'm trying to overcompensate.
You don't need to. You're perfect on your own without that, so don't do that.
Who is the person? Wait, hold on. We want to shout out that person that you screenshot today, right?
Oh my gosh, yes, Meg. Meg left it.
She messaged me. Hold on,
yeah,
I'm going to read it live.
Too.
Wait, I don't know what she said to you, but go ahead and let's shout her out. Meg, shout out!
Okay, Meg commented on the picture, like our professional podcast host pictures, and was like, this is the first time I've ever seen my podcasters and not been disappointed. Thanks for not being ugly. Which is like a delightful compliment, but it's just like a sick burn to every other podcast she's ever listened to.
I'm not even a those are the kind of sick burns. Yes, burn it all. Burn it all, Meg.
You're just, you and your ego need to sit down. But it made me laugh a lot when I saw it.
I'm messaging her right now. We are talking about you literally right now on the podcast live. What did her message say to you? Her message to you. What did her message to you say?
That she likes the podcast and
that's
she
it.
Likes that you haven't seen it before. And like
yes.
She told me about like her Grey's experience.
I love that. This is what she said to me. What's up, Carmen? With an exclamation point. I'm not going to sizzle roast you for that, Megan, but that is a question. But I'm glad that you're excited and exclaiming. I'm a new listener and I'm excited to watch alongside you. Hell yeah. Started watching Grey's at season 8, so I was a newbie watching reacting to season one through current with you. I'm finally caught up, so I figured I'd follow you guys on socials. I usually don't follow podcasters on socials because I don't want to know what they look like. I usually just come up with the faces in my head. So when they turn out ugly, I'm disappointed. But, all caps, you guys look great, so I'm pleasantly surprised. I appreciate that one of you hasn't seen the show because the reactions are just so much better. You and Kelsey have such a fun dynamic. I love the podcast. Keep up the good work. I'm going to have to send you a full response later. But yes, Meg, hello. We're talking to you now. I also want to shout out Becca on Instagram. I haven't read this message yet, but I'm going to read this real quick live. Hi, Carmen. Thanks so much for your message. Yes, I absolutely love the podcast. I messaged the podcast page a little while ago. So you probably talked to this person.
Yeah.
I'm watching Grey's with my mum, the royal mom, who is watching it for the first time. We're both loving it. I've restarted your podcast from the start over again. And I'm not joking. I love to hear both of your perspectives so much. I think one of my favorite episodes is the end of season six. So I was very, very, very pleased when you got to that part in the podcast. It's great hearing that you think from the first time watching. Oh, it's great hearing what you think from the first time watching. I've watched it through several times and hearing your predictions are great. So thank you for creating an amazing companion podcast. Last one. And then I think we can go ahead and just wrap up the whole podcast here. Where am I? Oh my gosh. Jazz, shout out. I see your messages, but that is just a lot to read right now. Also, Diamond, Alabama Diamond, sweet, sweet, beautiful woman, sweet, sweet little angel, was in Chicago. She told me all about it. And then, where are you? Lindsay, where are you? Lindsay.
Where are you, Lindsay?
Nice.
Why can't I find you?
Seriously, why can't I find you, Lindsay? There it is. Just wanted to shout out Lindsay. So she had followed me on Instagram. She found us back in March, and she's been binge listening ever since. She's halfway through season five, so she's got a while to go, but she loves the part when we finally realize why Denny is back, which, gosh, remember that? Remember that storyline? Okay, all right. I love it. Amazing. Well, let's get to it. Maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. To Dylan and Karina were just
shout
texting.
Out Dylan and Karina, by the way,
because Karina said Dylan has cried at his first Grace episode, made it four episodes. And it was the guy who I don't know if you're going to remember this. It's season one. The guy who like fell down his stairs holding a nail gun and the nails were like his brain and then they found the tumor. Yeah.
Yeah. Has Dylan never seen this show?
I don't know. I'm about to find out.
Is he listening along with us? Is he going to be living in Shondaland with us?
I don't know. I mean, he's going to make our website.
Shout out!
Karina is, of course, the host of Morning Cup of Murder. If you are a true crime podcast fan, you will definitely love it. She does like 10 to 15 minute episodes every single day. So there is quite a backlog to listen to if you start fresh, if you're looking for a new true crime podcast. And also,
like,
they're my best.
Literally,
they're some
of
our my best friends. So
here's the earth.
And so what did you say?
You said so, and I went, here's the earth.
Oh, okay. I'm too tired. This is episode 12 of season 7. We did fuck up because Carmen labeled part one of last week correctly and then labeled part two as episode 12. And then when I was making the Instagram post, I opened the podcast app really quick and I was like, oops, says 12, must be episode 12. And like, did no research again because I was tired. And so I put in episode 12 and that was also wrong, but I'm not going to change it on the Instagram because I would have to take down the post. But Carmen will probably fix it on
it
iTunes
is already or, fixed.
Yeah, because it's like not a hard fix for that. So now I'll just look a fool, but that's fine. I'm used to it. And so
well,
this
you're putting
is
up a new
episode
reel.
12.
You're putting up a new reel anyways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's fine.
That post is still going to be there. Anyways, it doesn't matter. This is the 138th episode overall. It is called Start Me Up. And that is a song. Sorry, I was yawning and fighting the yawn at the same time. That is a song.
That's a song. Start Me Up is a song by a up-and-coming, little well-known English rock band called The Rolling Stones. Just kidding.
Never heard of them.
Everyone knows The Rolling Stones. From the 1981 album Tattoo You, it was the first lead single. Its lead single reached number one in a lot of places. The album also did pretty damn well. So let's go ahead and talk about the song first. So the song specifically reached number one in Australia, top 10 in Belgium, Canada, the Netherlands, Norway, Switzerland, the UK, number two in the US Billboard Hot 100. So it made it as high as two in Canada and the US. Number one was the only place, Australia was the only place it went number one. But Tattoo You, I think this is interesting. So this this album did phenomenally well. Okay, it reached as high as number one in Australia, the album, number two in Austria, number one in Canada, number seven in Finland, three in Germany, three in Italy, eight in Japan, one in New Zealand, three in Norway, two in Spain, three in
Sweden.
You're
going there.
Two, yes, we are. Two in the UK. And then the song did not reach number one. It reached number two, but the album did reach number one in the US Billboard Hot 200. So the tracks on that album, I think it's worth noting. Start Me Up, Hang Fire, Slave, Little TNA, Black Limousine, Neighbors, Worried About You, Tops, Heaven, No Use in Crying, Waiting on a Friend. Start Me Up is pretty much the most well-known one of that, but a lot of other good hits. So with that being said, I want you all to know that this is it's five. Subjectively, honestly, it's not the Rolling Stones' best song. I think it's okay. But, you know, I'm a little bit more of a can't get no satisfaction kind of guy, or like a Sympathy for the Devil, which we have done, another Rolling Stones song we've done in the past. Mm-hmm. And, but anyways, not too bad of a song. It was already on my iTunes library, so.
Oh, okay. Look at that. Wow. That's happened before.
Yeah. For Beatles basically
songs. The classic rock songs.
The classic rock songs. I'm waiting for if they do, they're going to get to a point where they start getting Blink-182 or Fall Out Boy or My Chemical Romance.
Right.
And starting to get some of those songs in there. Then I'll be like, oh, I got this one.
Yeah. When we get to 2024 and they're referencing My Chemical Romance is like classic rock or something. Yeah. Something offensive.
Oldies.
Ouch. Hurts my feelings. Okay.
How old does a song need to be considered oldies, do you think? Is it 30 years?
Before I was born.
Well, right. That's for us.
Nope. That's for everybody. The other day, Scarlett asked if I was going to live to be 100. And I was like, ugh, I hope not. I'm so tired.
Yeah, I'm tired already. Tired as it is.
Yesterday was Bennett's birthday.
Yes. Yesterday in human time, not 2 year
old nugget. Yeah, yesterday the 18th. A little stinky nugget. Okay, so this episode was written by Natalie Krinsky and directed by Mark Jackson. It aired January 13th, 2011, to 12.15 million views. So a little bit higher, finally.
There we go.
The Netflix synopsis is Arizona tries to reconcile with Callie, who has big news to share. Teddy faces an important decision. The residents receive new interns. Not true, but okay. And then Hulu says Arizona tries to reconcile with Callie, who has big news to share. So, that's it.
Whatever could the news be?
Who's I texted this? Kelsey at like fucking 1 o'clock in the morning. What did I say, yeah. Kelsey? What did I text you?
Holy fucking shit, dude. But in all caps.
I didn't say holy.
Did you not?
I think I said, oh my. Oh my. Oh, okay.
Was that offensive to you to say holy shit?
Yeah, that's one of the things that it's one of the few things I don't say.
Is it actually?
I do not do the holy before the swears, and then I also do not do the GDs. I will never do a GD. Those are the only two I do. I don't do.
That's wild.
Yeah, you will never hear me say that. Yeah,
that's.
I have lines with my swears.
I don't.
That's why I don't. I don't do the GD, but I do the fuck. I say fucking damn it. That's my. Not better, but it excludes the Lord.
Okay, well, we'll get into that later.
Before we, what do you mean? For our next Patreon event, we're gonna tackle.
This is an off-air situation.
Anyways, all right, hold on. Before we jump into the actual podcast, I want to have just a quick conversation, because while it's not a trigger warning, this episode starts with the negative, not pregnant pee stick. Mm-hmm. It's a theme throughout the episode, and it is referenced comedically while some funny parts of it. But I do just want to say, like, you know, as people who've gone through that journey, both us and I know there's a lot of parents who are on Patreon or parents who are listeners, people we know who've gone through this journey. You know, I have three friends in my life who have gone anywhere from 2 years to 10 years trying to conceive. Mm-hmm. And it's just very, very crazy. The world can be wild. And that journey can be really, really exhausting. So I just want to say, if you're someone who's gone through that or you're going through it right now, here's just a little bit of encouragement from the Grey's Academy podcast, because seeing that not pregnant mark or the two lines or the
one line, or
the, yeah, whatever it is, for your specific pee stick, it can get draining.
Yes,
so I don't know. I just wanted to. Do you mind? Is it okay? I hope you don't mind that we started there.
It's appropriate. I'm glad you said something, because that's true. Yeah, and it. Meredith is handling it with more of like kind of jokes and like not really addressing it. And Derek is actually doing, I feel, a good job of like not really pressuring and just being supportive and just being like, well, like we can take our time, like we'll figure it out, you know. So I did not hate Derek as much in this episode, because he was in it very little. And when he was in it, he was not being a turd.
I think shout out to Janisha for calling you out on your Derek hatred.
She was like, you sound like a Derek hater. And I read it four times and I was like, is this a typo? Like, of course I sound like a Derek hater. I am a Derek hater. Like, I don't like him.
I hate him
a lot. Like, and last episode specifically was really irksome to me. So I was like, yes, that's correct. We can just start. Okay. Well, first of all, it was weird that Netflix said that they get new interns, because they just get new med students. Like, I guess, I don't know if this is a common thing. I did no research.
Well, this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Yeah, that's not what I'm doing that on, though.
Oh.
But I mean, I'm just the whole facetious. Like,
I'm sorry to get, we're not doing it this early, everyone.
Also the last like two or maybe three episodes, I haven't done that. So my bad.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh. Definitely the last two, possibly the last three.
You got one on this one? You got something for here?
Well, no, wait, I did do whenever we met Henry, I definitely did that one.
Yeah.
But there were like two or three recently that I didn't do one. I do have one for this one, but yeah, I mean, I feel like it's creature, normal. No, it's creature, not. It's normal. It sounds like a normal thing. Like if you're a med student that you would go like shadow doctors, but I'm like, but yes. Would you shadow surgeons or would you just shadow, like, you know what I mean? I don't really know how med school works. Either. We really got to talk to a doctor at some point.
So, in fact, these are, they're not yelling. New interns. They're just med students to shadow for the day.
Yeah.
I think I missed that part. I think I was, understanding these as new people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to be fully invested in these people because I'm
right, no, you're
fully invested in Laurel and her being hot.
She is very pretty, but no.
Okay. And she's from something, but I can't remember what I know her from.
I looked it up. I love her. I don't remember, but I did look it up.
She's probably, I think she's in psych. Maybe she's in psych. I don't want to look it up, but you can look it up later. So we get these new people. And the big, other big bombshell. I mean, there's a lot of, man, this fucking episode. Cali subleases the sublease.
Arizona subleases it.
Correct. That was a test of my sleepiness.
Okay, well, let's just start with Cali, because that's right. Like obviously the big news of the day is that
we're
Cali,
starting with this news.
Yeah. So, did you see it coming before the end?
No, I did not.
Okay, that's actually really surprising to me.
Here's
but
the thing.
I'm glad that you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't at all. It makes sense. They were boning in the showers and whenever
God knows where else.
Right. And whenever you're unprotected, you run the risk,
sometimes if you are. So,
and yeah, even if you are, you know, so it was bound to happen. And I feel like in my head at one point I was watching the show and I was like, damn, you guys got to calm down. You're going to put a baby in there. But I never said it out loud. So I feel like I'm bummed that I never made that official prediction, because this is so crazy that it feels like a prediction that Carmen would have made off the cuff.
Carmen, you did make this prediction.
Did I?
Well, ish. Okay, so you predicted that.
Then I'm going to go ahead and take everything back and just say I'm incredible. We should move on.
You predicted that Arizona and Cali would be together and they would use Mark's donor sperm to make a baby together.
Gosh, I'm so fucking smart.
I hate you because I have to keep going, because otherwise everyone will call me out on. You're not smart. You're dumb. But also, you did say that it would be revealed in the 12th episode of the season.
Yo, wait, what? What the fuck? Did I really?
It's like when you don't remember it, it's just like that much more that you're like so dumb. It's like you didn't even mean it.
Genius. What the fuck? Fuck, I'm so good at this show.
Are you quite done?
I'm like, I got butterflies. My heart's going pitter patter. All right.
Okay.
What else do you want to tell me?
Nothing. I just want you to like continue the conversation about
the 12th episode, and it's the 12th episode.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so why did you think she was crying in the morning? Just because, like,
she was just sad about Arizona.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because now she's proximity-wise, she's right there.
Yeah, it's more of a reminder. I remember watching this live, and as soon as she was crying, I was like, she was pregnant. Because there's, like, a split second in the middle of the cry where she, like, smiles and almost starts to laugh. You would have to probably go back and watch it again, but I think you would notice it. And it's almost like a positive thing in a way. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is for sure a positive kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. So I think because they put it right after Meredith and Derek see that, like, they're taking a pregnancy test. So it's like, for me,
ooh,
like,
okay,
it's like pregnancy, like, is already kind of the topic. So then for her to be crying, I was like, she's pregnant.
That's so funny. Yeah, I thought it was just the weepies from, like, Arizona being back has, like, really messed with her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. I mean, what are your feelings, your thoughts, your...
again, I did not see this coming, but I'm going to try to find my notes here. So I put a little asterisk at the end for when Arizona sneaks into the elevator with Cali.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I bail. I bail on things when it gets hard, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Like, I'm not bailing. I'm in this. I'm in this for good. And then Callie turns like and she's that. Like, I'm probably with Mark's baby. So does that change things? And then it just deadpan cuts out. And Meredith is like talking over it too. So I'm like, something's coming. Something's coming. Something's coming. And but I did not expect that.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's just so crazy. Now, here's the thing. I will say, looking back on it, there's that scene where I don't think Calizona. although
their couple name was Calzona, like they're like when the internet people are like, look at us, look who we love Calzona, we love Mare Dare.
Okay, well, I accidentally said that. That wasn't my intent, but now I'm glad that. So Callie, Arizona's talking to Mark, and she's like, you know, your family, and he's like, you're condescending.
Yeah.
That was like foreshadowing. They're going to be a little family, a little thruple with a baby.
Remember that time when I predicted
everything?
No, I remember that time when you medium correctly predicted one thing. And it was this one.
It was everything.
If only.
She was not like Arizona.
Callie's grumpy was, like, this episode.
Callie was very grumpy. Arizona put up with like she took some shots, is what I meant.
What do you mean, like, Arizona put up with something? Arizona deserved everything she got.
Sorry, I said put up with. I changed my verbiage immediately. Okay. She took some shots. Yeah. Is what I was trying to say.
Okay.
Callie was not holding back. And that's fine. But I kind of think it's interesting, the theme. They're going back and forth the whole episode, and Arizona's like, I just tell me what's wrong with me. Blah.
No, she's like, I know I'm not perfect, but she doesn't actually think. So it's like if you said it, you don't actually think you're not perfect. You actually think that you are perfect.
No, I know I'm not perfect. I care too much.
Mm-hmm. It's like that question in interviews when they're like, what's your weakness? And you're like, my weakness is I'm so smart that it holds me back.
But wait, I've been saying that in interviews. Is that why you think I haven't gotten any of the jobs?
No, honestly, I don't think that's why.
Ah. Even Bailey, that was that scene where Weber is like, humility, that's a trait I admire in chief residents, don't you think, Bailey? And she goes, yes, one of my strongest traits, Chief Weber.
Humility, yeah, that's one that you definitely don't have.
I have humility, and I'm humil enough to understand that I have humility.
You're what? You're humil?
Humile.
Are you done?
I don't know. I don't know if I am.
This is rough, delightful. Everybody. This
okay.
Is going great.
You know what I don't like about Arizona in this episode?
What?
When she goes to Callie in the middle of work and is like, all right, you want to listen? I'm ready to listen. Let's talk. You're at work.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens a lot on this show in general. There's not a lot of separation or appropriateness at all. Mm. I don't know if there's like, I feel like a quote unquote theme to these episodes, like to each episode. I don't feel like I have a theme this episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that there is. The theme is wow.
That's just for the last like 10 seconds. But I see your point.
Yeah, it's, you know, also a little bit inappropriate. Also, no, you know what the theme is? The theme is get to know someone before you marry them for possibly unethical insurance.
It's not unethical.
It's unethical. I don't think it is.
I don't think it's why? Why would it be unethical? What the fuck does the insurance company deserve to not get, to not do their job of existing to save people?
That's not an ethical question. That's a justice law question.
That's an ethical question.
I don't know. I aced business ethics my fourth time at college.
You didn't go to college four times.
I went to college thrice.
Thrice.
Fool me once. Okay.
Shame, shame.
Anything else? Guys, I'm going to apologize on our behalf.
What do you mean anything else? We've talked about nothing about this story.
I was going to ask if there's anything else you want to talk about with Callie in Arizona.
Yeah, like the whole storyline
that right.
Callie has with the gay couple.
Well, that's not...
And how she... Because she's grumpy the whole time.
All right, well, then let's talk about...
And then he is the reason that she forgives Arizona, so it is relevant.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying here. Well, let's take a break. We've worked hard.
Well, we actually have. This is the most we've talked about in 30 minutes in a long time.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a regional sponsor break. We'll be back after these messages. And we are back. Hopefully,
here we
like those. All right. Take us away, Kelsey. Lead us off here.
Okay. So Brady and Kyle are going to the courthouse to sign their domestic partnership papers because in the year 2011, gay marriage was not legal in Washington state. I did look it up because gay marriage was legalized on a national level in 2015, which is insane that it took that long. But it was legalized in Washington state December 6th of 2012.
Well, on... the 2015 10-year anniversary, 2025, it'll get, you know, shot down. So
hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Everyone make sure you're registered to vote.
Register to vote.
So.
Yes.
Oh, it also automatically converted the existing registered domestic partnerships into marriage. Unless they were legally dissolved before June of 2014. So there you go. Okay. So they're going to sign their domestic partnership. They were trying to wait until gay marriage was legalized in the state, but they didn't want to wait anymore. And then Kyle, who is the one that is not injured, wanted it to be special. And so he got bagpipes and horses because his partner is Scottish and likes being Scottish, to quote him. So he wanted to celebrate that in a special way. So he got that. And then the bagpipe started and the horses got scared and ran over the partner, Brady, which is a bummer. So he's very injured because he got trampled by horses.
I want to shout out Kyle, right? Kyle was the
uninjured one.
The uninjured one. You know, Kyle... I think it's easy to hear some of the things that Kyle was yelling at the doctors about wanting to stay in the room during some of those things and think, Kyle, shut the fuck up, dude. Let the doctors do their thing. And then you hear some of the things that Kyle says later on in the episode and you're like, Kyle, talk more. you're like, man, this guy's got an arc on his own. I like it.
It's true.
He goes from, I don't know, sorry, you continue, you continue. You're doing great.
I do feel like when you have, with the backstory that they give us on this couple, when you have that in mind, and then the times they probably had to fight because they were told you don't have the right to stay in here because you're not spouses. And then to be frustrated because that's what they were trying to do specifically on this day, that I feel like definitely adds into why he was refusing to leave, because he's no, I have a right to be in here. This is the person that they couldn't get married, but they were doing what they could. And so it's easy for us to take that for granted, kind of, especially now that it is legalized, on a national level, and even internationally, it's legal in a lot more places, which is wonderful. And, you know, hopefully there will one day exist a world where someone is listening to this podcast and it is legal in every country, and there won't be any things holding anybody back from being their true and authentic selves.
Yes. So love who you want to love, as long as it's not pedophilia.
Yeah. On that note, it is a good story to watch, but yeah, it's definitely interesting when it's like the more, like, I guess, quote unquote, frazzled person that is not the injured one. And then like having the calm one be the one that's like basically paralyzed. It's an interesting dynamic every time they do it, because the person's like frantically panicking and the other person's like, can you just calm down? I'm actually dying. But it's fine.
I might have my last breath here any minute. I need you to relax.
And so he obviously feels really bad because he was trying to do a nice thing. So I'm not like faulting Kyle for like booking the horses or booking the bagpipes or whatever. Like, he didn't do that and thinking, I hope this happens and my husband gets run over.
How can I sneakily pull a Lion King right now? Yeah,
how can I immediately get that life insurance policy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel so he's like he's very upset. He wants to apologize. He wants to like be there for his partner because that's all he can do in this moment. And obviously it's very difficult. And his husband or partner is in just so much pain because, you know, he was trampled by horses and his spine was messed up.
Yeah.
His insides were messed up. Like literally so many things were messed up. Neck bone that was knocked out of place, broken back. So Callie uses traction to realign the neck so that they can intubate him for surgery, because they can't intubate him for surgery if his like not straight, because the thing wouldn't go in. And then when they're moving him in the OR table, he like crashes and they thought it was internal bleeding. But Jackson's med student was like, oh, what about hyperkalemia? Because he saw the heart monitor like dip before they rolled him. So they treated that and it was correct. And Jackson, for some reason, was mad, which was dumb.
Well, that's when we get the insight that Edward, who was his med student, could be a low-key genius. I think my official prediction on Edward is he comes back as an intern and he gets to work at the hospital.
Okay, well, before that happens, you might be wondering, hey, what's hyperkalemia?
I was.
Good news. This is a teaching hospital, damn it. And I'm here to tell you what hyperkalemia is. It is a medical term that describes potassium in your blood that is higher than normal. Oh. Potassium is a chemical that is critical for the body to function. However, too much of it can fuck you right up. So basically what Edward saw is like a dip and then a rise and before the flat line. I don't know why potassium would do that, but it does apparently. So they treated, they gave calcium because it corrects potassium, I guess. So I don't know why. I don't know shit. This is also like oftentimes related to the kidney. The kidneys. Oh my gosh. If you drink too many electrolytes, you can get it.
Too many electrolytes? I am so electrolyted up right now.
If you over electrolyte and your kidney is like not fully functioning.
Oh, okay. Well, my kidneys.
Because your kidney is what's going to like siphon it out. So if you have any kidney damage. So maybe the kidney damage was something from like being trampled by horses. And so then that was like a residual effect. You know what I mean? Like if his kidney was smooshed, so it wasn't able to function correctly. So then this would have kicked in. Yeah.
But I'm saying, well, there's electrolytes in IVs, right?
Oh, maybe you're right. I thought you were just saying that like if someone has an IV, then like there will be no issues because the IV has all the solutions. I was like,
no. So if his kidney got hurt.
You're right. he would be given, well, just the injuries, he would probably be given fluids.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a probably a good, you've pieced it together. So yes, potassium is important, but it's also important not to overdo it. I mean, that's true with anything supplement wise, because like I was taking vitamin D because the doctor was like, you're low on vitamin D. So I took some, and some of the vitamins are like insane dosages, right? Because it'll say like, oh, you bare minimum have like 500 milligrams or whatever of vitamin D. I don't know what the actual numbers are. And the supplement I was taking was like 2000 milligrams of it. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
this seems insane.
That's a lot.
No, I don't think it was that high, because I think then I was also doing a daily vitamin and we added them together. Yeah. And then we were like, how much is too much? And it was only like 150 under. And I was like, I'll just do the daily vitamin because it's in that one. I won't also double up with the like additional singular vitamin D stuff.
Yeah, but, yeah, it is interesting. Like, if you look at the package of an emergency, it's like 17,000% of your daily value literally. Of vitamin C.
And I'm just like, but how much will kill me? Because surely there is some amount.
There's an amount for anything. Did you know that you could overdose on cocaine?
What?
Did you know that you could overdose? Obviously, I was trying to think of like a drug you can overdose. Meth? No, but yeah, vitamin C. Yeah, meth. Did you know you could overdose on heroin? Addiction is not a joke. But yeah, like even vitamin C, like when you're sick. Yeah. Now most of those things you'll just pee out, but
yeah, again, this aren't is working. More yeah, if the kidneys aren't working or if your liver isn't working to like siphon things out and you know filter through your blood and your digestive system and everything and do its job as it's meant to do it. That's kind of why these things occur, but yeah.
Yes.
So this is a teaching hospital and that's what that is.
I love that. Damn it.
Mm-hmm. And my source on that was the Mayo Clinic, just so everyone knows.
Love that. I prefer the Mustard Clinic, but you know, it's okay. she's shaking
her head. I prefer everyone but Carmen. That's what I prefer.
There's two scenes that I want to call out. So the first scene is when they're in that room or about to go into the room and like they're looking at the scans. And that's when Derek's like, I don't know if I want to intubate while blah, 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 blah. And Cal's like, I'll fix it. Kira is like, yo, Meredith, that's your husband. He's hot. Dime piece. Look at that. Congrats. And then at one point, Edward sneaks into the room. So Hun's like, hell of a wedding day. And Edward's like, they say if you want to piss off God, just tell him your plans. And then Jackson goes full on Anchorman and goes, Brick, get back over here.
Get the fuck out of here.
And I'm like, dude. And then when he like is sitting in the room and like all of a sudden he's like, hey, it's probably this. Jackson, first off, gives him a stupid look. Like, what an asshole. Fuck you, Jackson.
Yeah, I love Jackson, but he was not... His head was in his ass this episode, that's for sure.
His whole ass. But so there was like that scene I wanted to call out, because that Kira piece sets up another scene later on with Meredith, and then the Edward thing, I think that's funny.
Also worth noting, when they first come in, Kyle and Brady, obviously it's super chaotic because clearly he's going to have a lot of internal injuries and they don't like know the extent of it yet. So they're trying to figure it out. And the trauma room is just like so full and very chaotic. And Edward keeps getting like trying that thing where you try and get out of the way, but then you're somehow more in the way. And Jackson is like being a raging turd about it. Like it's not intentional, but like Jackson is being a dick about it. So yeah, just wanted to mention that as well.
I feel like we need the actual completion of this arc for Kyle. Do you have the dialogue that he gives, his speech?
Yes, hold on.
Cause it is good. It gave me the, both the duck bumps and the goose bumps.
Okay. This was supposed to be the best day of our lives. You think I'm silly? I know, with the horses and the bagpipes. So does he. We don't get marriage in Washington. We get domestic partnerships. We get to go to City Hall and stand in line and sign some papers. Mail it in if you're more romantic. So call me crazy, but I wanted the day that everybody else gets. And I fought for it. I organized rallies. I stood in the cold outside the state house. I had some Neanderthal throw hot coffee on me. I fought for a wedding and I waited and they still said no. So I got tired of when we got tired of waiting, Brady and I went to sign the papers. I wanted it to be special. He is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I wanted it to feel like that, not like some trip to the DMV. I wanted it to be special. And instead, I nearly killed him. And then Callie said, things don't go the way you want them to ever, which, you know, now knowing that she's pregnant, not the way that she probably planned.
Mm-hmm.
Another meeting on that one.
Mm-hmm. The first thing that I want to say is to his speech is, oh, wow, just so good. It makes you take these things for granted. Now,
no, it doesn't make you take them for granted.
Sorry?
It doesn't make you take things for granted.
No.
It makes you appreciate.
It makes you try to not take those things for granted.
Yeah. Appreciate.
Appreciate. With less words. In less words.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kelsey. Fuck you.
I have a lot to say about this, so you say what you're going to say so I can say what I'm going
to
say.
I will just say before, because I'm very excited to hear what you have to say, it makes you appreciate the hard things that same-sex marriage couples had to go through. And at this point, this is 2010, we were high school plus, just out of high school, early into college. I was high school, senior year high school, 2010. And... shut up.
It just always confuses me because I always think that you graduated 1 year later than me because you're only 1 year younger than me. So it always throws me off when you graduated 2 years later than I did. But it's because you have a little bit of a later birthday, I think.
Yeah, the Scorpio energy. Shout out.
Or because you're just a raging moron. I don't. One of those two, probably.
I see a spider.
I don't know for sure which one.
I see a spider.
Okay, keep talking about gay marriage.
There's just so many special people in our lives.
It's true.
Who identify within the LGBTQ plus community. And it is sad that there was a time when this was even a challenge. Not that it's not a challenge. It's a challenge now. But there was a time when it wasn't legal, is what I was meant to say.
And it still is in a lot of countries illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. It just makes you really, really want to... wrap your gay friends
and like
in a
it's
big
not
hug
you
and
know,
say you know it's all it's, you, we're, I'm grateful for you because I'm so grateful
it's just
for those
it's not that long ago that's what's wild
right.
Like we're fully adults
ten,
like
9 years
insane.
Ago
yeah it's truly bonkers
what were you gonna say?
So mine kind of ties in with the Teddy storyline because the scene directly before this is when
Henry VIII?
No, it's not directly before this, but the scene directly after it is when Richard goes to Teddy and says, like, we found a cyst on Teddy's pancreas. This is what we need to do. You're his emergency contact. And at the end of it, Richard says, you signed a marriage license and you haven't asked him the most basic questions on how he wants to live or die. Like that right after this scene is I truly believe the intent was to highlight how fucking hypocritical like the legality of marriage was at this time because Teddy and Henry not knowing each other, but for like 4 minutes being able to walk into the courthouse and legally get married without knowing jack shit about each other compared to these people who have like lived together, loved each other, built an entire life together, not being able to have that exact same right is absolutely absurd. And I do think that that's a very intentional choice and an intentional point they were making.
That is
and if
mind
not,
blowing. I didn't
they
I
did
didn't
it
catch
still
that.
So
well yes
yeah
Wow. That's such a great point. Kudos to you, Kelsey, for using that.
Well, and the writers. Thanks.
And your heart. And the writers. Yeah. It's, who's this episode written again by?
It was,
Rob Korn, Krista.
No, it wasn't. It Krista wasn't, someone Rimes. That we've seen much, but I did read the blog. This is Natalie Kinski, and she was the writing assistant for like up until this point. She was one of the writing assistants. So typically they would like, sit in the writer's room, take notes, kind of help with things like that. And then she was able to also, you know, get the opportunity to write this episode. So yeah, I just thought that was really well done. And I mean, I remember not noticing that until one of my rewatches. I remember like rewatching it later on and being like, oh, holy shit, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That like, it was this like whole big to do for them, and they've waited so long and they still don't even get to actually be married. And but Teddy and Henry are legally married and have all of the benefits of that. It meant essentially nothing in every aspect. It's just crazy. And again, like, we have come a long way. That doesn't mean we don't have further to go. There are, again, lots of countries where it's not legal at all. There are even countries where, like, if it is known that you are gay, you can be arrested or put to death. So it's just like there's progress to be made here in our country, and there's also progress to be made all the way around the world, and people should just be allowed to be who they are. It's just not hurting anybody.
Yeah, unless it does hurt someone, in which case,
well, yeah, but this one won't.
Yeah, that is such a great call out. I did not catch that in my first watch. Again, thank you for that. That's that is crazy. And yeah, it is. It's wild to think in the world that we live in that at any point who's elected into office can change these laws or strike something down or revert us back to a pre-2015.
It's also crazy
America.
That people want it. That's
right.
What's crazy to me.
Who the fuck is it bothering? Gosh.
Literally nobody.
Anyways. Then... After that, so he wakes up. Brady wakes up.
Yeah.
We get a beautiful
scene. It's
very
cute. He's like, let me tell you this now before I fall back asleep. For the love of God, do not try and make it up to me. I forgive you. If you try and make it up to me, most certainly you will kill me. And I just can't do this again. So please leave me alone. But also, I love you.
That is so, so, so funny.
I think it's so precious. And I feel like it's very like, true. I feel like it paints a good picture of their relationship, and it like is in line with the story. I understand where precious little Kyle is coming from, like wanting it to be special. You know, there's always like the trope of like, oh, every little girl dreams of her wedding day. That's not specific to women. Like, there are plenty of boys who dream about their wedding day, and then men who are very excited for their wedding when that day finally comes. And you know, love is for everyone, and celebrating it should also be for everyone. So
it's true.
Anyways, I like the storyline, and like, I think so between the moment of Kyle saying like, you know, telling Kelly I fought for this and like it's still like jack shit basically, like it's better than nothing but it's not what I wanted, I feel like that is really resonant to her, obviously, like knowing now when you reread those words with the like knowledge that she's pregnant. And then when Brady wakes up and says, I forgive you. I think that also resonates with her because she's like, oh, maybe I should forgive Arizona.
I feel like I'm reading it as she is.
Right. But what I'm saying, like, that moment is like, I think pivotal to get her to the forgiveness.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Great storyline. I'm rooting for them. Let's add those to the list of people that I hope that we get to check back in on. And, you know, this is 2010, five seasons. Imagine 11. They come back. Oh, it's 2011. Okay. Sorry. 2011. I said 2010. That's when I graduated. I did not graduate 2011.
This is January 2011. So it's like around there.
So 2011, I hope they circle back in 4 years after this is legal. And the writers say, where are they now? Kyle and Brady.
Then they have their own special Seattle Med.
Yeah. What else can we talk about for a couple? What else you want to talk about?
Bailey and Eli.
Oh, my gosh. I am obsessed. So, like, man. Inappropriate.
Yeah.
But adorable.
Yes. A very good description of the scenario. Interesting. We didn't see him like after the episode where he asks her out and she says yes. So clearly they did that. They did go out. It's just, you know, it's such a different side of Bailey than even when we saw her with Ben, it was like a very, like, it seemed more serious of a relationship. And this is like, she's just rigid. Vibing. She's like, yeah. I'm just going to have a good time, you know, good for her. I do think that is difficult, though. Like, they do a good job, but I think it's a difficult challenge because of the character that they've established for her and how she's very like, I don't want my business all over the place. I don't like the drama. I gotta, you know, like work and motherhood and all this stuff. So it's, I think they do a good job of like keeping her true to her character while also introducing a different storyline for her to act in such a different way.
Yeah, when we first kind of get Eli back into this episode, it's when we're talking to Sarah.
Henry.
We're getting introduced. Oh. No, you're right. It is Henry. It is Henry.
Yeah.
Sarah is the other patient. I was mixing them up. They're talking to Henry. Eli walks in and she's like, "Oh, I didn't know you were on the case." And he's like, didn't you? You're a liar." Wink. Pinches her butt as he walks by. I added that part in. I don't think he did that.
Thank you. But thank you for clarifying.
Later on, when he's like, "Did you get my fuck note?" Like, he's like, "I want to go into the on-call room and where all you doctors have sex at."
Which is like such a meta joke because like it's almost like calling the show out for doing that.
Yeah. And it's super cute seeing her giddy and just like laughing and cuddle, like just, you know, and then when he goes to kiss her, that is work inappropriate. Eli, calm down. Work inappropriate.
Also, I'm just like, and then later on she says that she's dating a nurse and I'm like, okay, are you keeping it a secret? Because he was just macking on you like in the middle of the lobby. Like surely people are going to know, right?
But she also at one point says to Weber, I am not dating a nurse. And
well, when because he goes, says he's like, Bailey's dating a nurse. And she's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. Bailey's dating a nurse and taking full advantage of the situation, Chief Weber. So funny. It's so funny.
Eli's a goober. But again, we wonder, like, what are the rules and or are there any?
Well, we've established that HR only exists in firings of the chief.
Or that time they fired Izzy.
Oh, yeah. And Izzy. Yeah.
When they did the layoffs.
I remember that. Yeah.
Wait, was HR there for the murder?
Probably had to mandate the.
We don't know, though. We didn't see anything.
That's fair. That's a good point.
The grief counselor.
If we don't see HR, then we could just safely assume that HR doesn't exist.
I mean, they're definitely not doing shit. That's for sure. Anyways,
I like the Eli Bailey storyline. I think that's cute.
It is cute. What do you predict for them?
A whole lot of fucking.
So she explicitly says to Teddy, like, I'm not gonna let him meet my child. Is that Teddy she says that to? It is,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Because Teddy's like, all right, give me the speech, dude. Give me the Bailey speech.
I am intrigued to like what would Bailey's take be, because Weber makes it pretty clear, and then Lexi kind of goes on about how it's actually pretty hotly debated in both the medical and ethical community. And so what do you think Bailey's take on it would be?
I think Bailey would disapprove of the action but approve of the motive.
Mm-hmm.
So she would lean, I think Bailey leans very heavily to the Hippocratic Oath as my mm-hmm. That's it. It's black and white. It's not gray.
Right.
She saved a Nazi. She has had to live through a shooting. She's lost Mandy Moore. She lost Charles and didn't lose Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she leans 100% to the Hippocratic Oath is do no harm. That applies to everything. And I think that she would try to save the life if she could. And if that was where she was at, I think probably she wouldn't do it, but she would be like, yes, this is good for you, Teddy. I think she leans towards yes, but
I see. Just curious what your opinions were. Okay. So yeah, she tells Teddy, like, I'm not gonna like have a relationship with this man, but I am gonna fuck him. So what are your thoughts on where that's going?
Well, it's tough for any kind of relationship that's built on physical or sex only, because typically one person ends up getting feels.
That is the trope of it.
So my prediction will be that Eli will catch the feels.
Okay.
And Bailey will not. Also, like, well, here's the thing. Here's the tough thing. Bailey's been post-divorce for how many seasons now? Like, two?
End of season four?
So, three. Going on. This is the third season.
Maybe end of season five, actually. Yeah, end of season five.
Okay, two or three. So I have a feeling in Gray's time, that hasn't been a ton of time. That's been at least
a minute.
6 months, right?
I truly don't know.
Well, but there was between.
There's definitely been 6 months since Gary Clark.
Yeah. So there's been at least six months and 1 minute, to your point. 6 months yes. plus 1 minute. Of time between
minimum.
I think that around the end of season seven or the beginning of season eight, we're going to start to see a storyline where Bailey wants to settle down.
Okay.
And I'm nervous that Eli catching feelings for her will be the catalyst where she breaks up with him and is like, okay, I got to get serious about this.
About what?
Who she's going to be with.
But so she breaks up with him to be serious with someone?
With someone else. To say, yeah, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think she ends up with Eli.
Okay.
I also don't think she ends up with Ben.
Okay. So do you have, you said the end of season seven or beginning of season eight, you think they'll break up?
Yeah. And I think she'll start dating. We're going to get Bailey an OKCupid account.
A little fuck buddy. Well, I guess that's what Eli is, a fuck buddy.
A dating profile.
For real love. The soulmates.
Farmersonly.com.
Ugh. Doctorsonly.com. That probably exists.
Podcastersonly.com.
Oh, well, we're married.
And so, we found our love through podcastersonly.com. Subscribe with Grey's Academy.
Also, 20. Our spouses don't make podcasts. That doesn't even make sense.
They have a podcast, the two of them, where they talk about it? They are. It's a rewatch podcast for our rewatch podcast.
Oh, interesting.
They don't even watch the show. They just listen to our episodes and then they read it.
So. What do they talk about? They can't talk about our reactions if they're not watching the show. They don't know what to...
No, they blind react to just our reactions.
Yeah. Okay, well, this bit's been fun. We're going to end it here, and we'll pick up next episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.